Well, now let's tune our hearts to sing the Lord's praise. We begin this morning with the song, Be Unto Your Name. Let's sing together. Stand together for our call to worship from Psalm 7. Our call to worship from Psalm 7. I will give to the Lord the thanks due his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Good decisions by the psalmist. And it would be good decisions for us this morning to enter into this place to give to the Lord, first of all, what? Thanks. Lord, thank you. Due to his righteousness. See, he's been working righteous things in our life, and it's proper for us to come and say thank you. But then second, the psalmist says, and I will also sing. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do pray today that you would help us be thankful for your many blessings to us, your righteous acts towards our life. We also pray, Lord, that you would help us sing from within our hearts your praise. Lord, that our thanks would just not be in spoken words, but also in music before your ears. May what you hear from our hearts today be altogether pleasing to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the risen Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to continue to sing the song, God of Wonders.
Thank you. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky. Heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven. I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. Universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. Yes. Universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Our responsive reading this morning takes certain sections from Romans 8. So we'll be hearing the reading of God's word from Romans 8 and then responding by faith. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this great truth. Your kindness shown to us by grace astounds us. Your love and mercy are rich and free. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Our Father in heaven, we acknowledge today that our salvation is a work of your doing, and not in any ways ours. We thank you that the righteous requirements of the law have been fully met by the life of Christ. For those who live according to the flesh They set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Our Father in heaven, we confess that there is nothing we can do to satisfy your justice. Our need for Christ is great due to our sin. Please forgive us and look only upon Christ, who is our refuge. But you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the hope of the resurrection found in this text. We long for this day to come soon. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand to sing the song, Grace Alone.
Morning. Good to see everybody here. And I'd like to thank you that the giving has been good and we're able to stay on budget. Greatly appreciated. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you first of all for you, for how important and what a blessing you are to us and how you watch over us. Thank you for this church. Continue to bless it and be with the people that aren't here today for various reasons. Be with each individual of them. Be with our government, Lord, with everything that's going on, all this turmoil. We just lift them up in prayer. And thank you for everything you blessed us with. Amen.
If you're visiting with us today, we're just really glad you're here. May the Lord bless us as we worship and as we seek to turn to God's word and be instructed from the Lord himself today. Just a few announcements by way of prayer. Fran, good to see you here this morning. I understand that you're going to need now a hip replacement. Is that right? So Fran, we're going to be praying for you. And then I see in front of you, Gloria is here. Gloria, glad to see you. Trust that you're continuing to heal well. That's great. Lord has been good to us as a congregation. Nella, I see Nella here. Blessings to you. We're continuing to pray for you, too. And all those that just are within our church with medical complications, and so may the Lord bless us. We are holding a service today at 1 o'clock for those that just need a little extra protection, and that's understandable and good, so looking forward to that. May the Lord bless us here at Rockford Springs. Let's go before our Heavenly Father in a time of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we have found in this past week again your grace, your mercy. Throughout the week, Lord, we've had to come to you and confess our sins. We did not find a father that drove us away out of impatience. We did not find a father who had just had enough of us. But we found a merciful Father, looking not upon us, but upon Christ who covers us. Our Father, it's our prayer again today that you would fix your eyes not upon us and upon our wicked hearts, but upon Christ. He is our refuge, our strength, our rock, our hope. If Lord, we have any hope, it's only in Christ. So, Lord, may we cease to think that within us is some kind of righteousness that pleases you, satisfies you. But, Lord, it's the contrary. And we know that we often grieve the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And we pray, indeed, Heavenly Father, that you would humble us by showing us our sin. But also, Lord, that you would deepen our joy. For we are saved in Christ. There is hope for us in Christ. There is a salvation planned by you before the beginning of time. For you knew that any creation created by you would be less than you and prone to sin. And look what we've done. Wandered away from the Creator himself, the one who preserves us and sustains us, we so often oppose and think to ourselves that our way is better than your way. Our Father, forgive us again this day of our sin and fill us with this hope and joy and peace that we have. For indeed, there is peace for those in Christ. There is hope. Our Father in heaven, we pray today for our congregation. And we thank you, Lord, that Gloria can be with us today. We pray that you would bless her and Jerry. Give her good healing. Lord, we are sorry to hear that Fran needs further surgery, that these screws that were put in didn't work, and now she needs to have a full hip replacement. So, Father, be with her, we pray. And we pray, Lord, for others in our congregation. They're in need of your strength and grace. Lord, we learned this week the good news, but yet sad news, that Richard Nauta has entered into your glory. What a dear man you blessed us with for such a time. Father, we thank you for his love for you and his kindness to others. Always such a man with joy. Always a man that not only knew the baseball scores, but knew the gospel and loved you. Father, would you bless the DeYoung family today, and Carol particularly, who sought to minister to her dad when it was so hard to even be able to get in and see him. Comfort her heart and Jay DeYoung, all the family, Lord, we pray this week. Our Father, we thank you that you are the God who hears our prayers, that we do not mumble some words and they just fall flat in space. They enter heaven itself and before the throne of grace. Even things that cause us to worry and fear. Father, on the one hand, some of us are worried about COVID-19. On the other hand, some of us are worried about where in the world this government is going that we live in. And now with racial violence spreading throughout the land, Father, we fear this. And we come before you this morning and we ask you to help us in a time of storm to trust you, to look to you, to continue to lean upon you in every way. Father, we do thank you for our government. And we do pray for them that they would have wisdom. Even though times, Lord, they upset us, anger us, we pray for them and ask that you would bless them. And Father, times are changing so rapidly. We wonder what tomorrow will bring. And yet, Lord, we know that through it all, you are with us. So may you give us peace and confidence in this. And be so strong and evident in our life that we are able to love others and care for them and their needs. So remove from us, Lord, a frustrated anger. But give us your peace. Give us your wisdom. Help us to continue to look unto Christ. Bless our work. Bless our employees. Bless our employers. Bless the work of their hands, Lord, we pray. Father, we pray for our farmers. Help them during this time as well. Help us to see each and every day that we are so totally dependent upon you and that all that we have is from your good hand. So, Father, cause us to bless your name, to thank you, and to sing your praise, not just on Sunday from 9:30 to 10:30, but may it be such a mark of our life that it's a strong witness to the community that watches us. May we as Christians be Christian in all that your Bible teaches us, we pray. Help us to that end. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our children, and we ask you to keep them safe. And Lord, we're thankful that so many are here with us today. Bless our kids. Bless our parents, bless our homes, bless our marriages, we pray. Help us again to love one another during a time when we need to be patient in tribulation. Thank you now for hearing our prayers this morning, for we've come in Jesus' name. Amen. Boys and girls, we're going to sing the song, Jesus Loves Me, and it's okay if you bigger boys and girls sing too, so let's sing Jesus Loves Me.
She
Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Okay, second verse.
Jesus loves me.
He loves me. As he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's very good to see you this morning again. Well, I have a question for you. Can you guys walk on the water? Or do you know anyone who can walk on it? Well, when I was a boy, I remember how I tried to walk on the water. I don't know why, but I tried. You know, whenever I went to swimming pool with my family, you know how you can go to the edge of the swimming pool and there's water, that, you know, boundary? I always try to walk in the water by doing this. And sunk. Got up there again. Take a step and sunk. I tried it over and over and over again until I had to accept that, yeah, I cannot walk on the water. You know? Well, this morning, Pastor Dave is going to tell you a story of a scared disciples of Jesus. Now, why were they scared? Well, here's the story. After Jesus fed 5,000 people, you remember that story, we heard about it last week. You know, do you remember how the Jews were trying to forcefully make Jesus their king? And Jesus moved to mountain, he tried to hide away from them. Well, he didn't really take his disciples with them. So after Jesus was gone, his disciples took a boat and they sailed across the Sea of Damascus. But as they were sailing, a strong wind started to hit the sea. And the sea started beating each other. We don't know whether it was a strong storm or not, but certainly the weather didn't look good. But that's not really why the disciples were scared. I mean, disciples, you know, some of them were fishermen. They knew how to deal with the rough sea, you know, rough weather. They knew how to deal with that. But here is why they were terrified. As they were rowing the boat, they began to see a shadow. Appearance that looked like a man walking toward them. And now they start to panic. They're like, I see a ghost! Hey guys, look at that! There's a ghost over there! Oh my word, we are doomed! You know, look at the ghost! They start to panic. I mean, it was middle of sea, and they see a man standing there. Wouldn't you be scared? They were terrified. But as they were panicking, well, what they thought to be a ghost started to speak to them and say, it's me. Don't be afraid. And they're like, huh? Who's that? Well, it was not a ghost who was standing on the water. It was Jesus. It was Jesus who was walking toward them, walking on the water, and speaking to them, "It is me. It is I. Don't be afraid." And he said it because he knew that his disciples were scared. He cared for them, and he wanted to comfort them. Boys and girls, there are many moments that we also get scared in our lives. Maybe you get scared in dark. I think I told you this when I preached on Psalm 121. I used to be terrified, you know, about darkness. I did not like to be in dark room. Maybe you also get scared of dark. Maybe you get scared sleeping in your room alone. I remember I also got scared about that too. But I want to tell you something. When you are scared and anxious, Jesus cares for you. He wants you to know that he is there with you, and he wants you to hear him speaking to you. "It is me. Don't be afraid." So I want to encourage you today. Trust in Jesus in all things. He is with you, and he cares for you. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for this time, Lord, that we can hear about how you care for us and how you truly desires to comfort us. Lord, there are many moments that we get scared. We were scared about COVID-19, and we know as we live our lives, there will be many moments that we'll get scared. Lord, but we also learned today that you care for us, and you will always speak to us, "It is I, don't be afraid." So, Lord, teach us to trust in you, teach us to cling to you, and teach us to always stay near you. Lord, and now as we go into the public reading of your word, we pray, Father, that you will help us to hear your word attentively. And we also pray that your word will go out with power, that it will fulfill God's will, that it will transform and regenerate man's heart, that it will help us to see Jesus Christ lifted high. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, dear congregation, I want to draw your attention right now to John 6, verses 15 through 21. It continues from our sermon last week. John 6, verses 15 through 21. And in honor of God's word, please stand. This is inspired, therefore, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word of God. "Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, 'It is I. Do not be afraid.' Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going." Please be seated.
Mr. Sub, you should know that we do walk on water in Michigan, not in Cambodia, but in Michigan. I know many of you are thinking that. We have two goals in this sermon series. We have the goal of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? You may say to me this morning, "No, I don't. I really don't." Or you may say this morning, well, I do. I'm young in the faith. I'm learning to believe. I'm beginning to walk with the Lord, but I've got a long ways to go, and I understand. Or you may say, well, I have been walking with the Lord. There's been good sanctification evidence in my life. God is real to me. I'm walking with Jesus, love him. I'm doing well, and I'm thankful for it. Praise God for that. But we're also after the goal of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing him. So I ask you this morning, do you know him? And you know how we've been at this. It's not about knowing about him. It's about knowing him. Personally. Closely. If there's anyone you know, it's Jesus. That's what we're after. Okay, so again, where are you there? Well, I don't know him. Or I've been starting to know him. He's been revealing himself to me. Oh, I do know him. And I'll tell you, Pastor, right now where I'm at is he's the best friend of my life. Praise God for that. So where are you? This is what we're on a journey with, and I believe this is what John is after in his book, what motivated him to pick up his pen and begin to write was the power of the Holy Spirit's desire for us to know him and to believe in him. Now, I will say this. I don't think there's too much difference between the two. It's a fine line. How would you try to talk about knowing him if you don't believe him? And how could you possibly believe him if you don't know him? So the two really are one and the same. Our story before us this morning is found in Matthew 14, and it's found in Mark 6. And, of course, now we see it as well in John 6. Only Luke leaves out this story. So let's walk through a minute. What is different between Matthew and Mark and then the John account? Because each one has their goal, has their focus. And so when they're writing a story, you say, well, I wonder why this one left that out or added this or, you know, something. Oftentimes it coincides with their goal. First of all, John does not include that Christ constrained his disciples to get into the boat. That's the word used in the ESV, in Matthew and in Mark. He constrained them. What does that mean, constrained them? Well, he forcefully compelled them to get into the boat and get out of there. So that's the scene. Okay, John doesn't really include that. John just says they went down, right, to the sea and got into a boat. What we see there, the motivation from Matthew and Mark, Jesus wanted them out onto the sea. While he, as we saw previously last week, he went alone, away from the crowd, the 20,000 some people, I don't know what number you want to put on it, but 5,000 men, maybe 20,000 in total, trying to make him king. He eludes them, leaves them, and leaves walking up the mountain. You remember how we saw it last week? The 20,000 some people coming towards him, and he had compassion on them, and he fed them, and then they wanted to force him to be what he wasn't because they didn't know him, so they really didn't believe in him. And that's unacceptable to him. He leaves that. He leaves them. So the vision we have in the feeding of the 5,000 is the 20,000 coming, and at the end of the story, Jesus leaving alone up a mountain. Okay, Matthew and Mark include that he comes to them in the fourth watch. John didn't include that. It's the fourth watch. Now, this can be a little confusing in the Scripture, so let me try to help here. In the ancient times of the Jews, the Old Testament, there was three watches. But this is the Romans now, and so we're working on a four-watch system. It's every 3 hours, and there's forum, so it's 12 hours long course. It starts, let me see here. It's from Barnes' Notes on the Bible. The first of these watches is mentioned in Lamentations 2. This is the Jewish watches. The first of the watches is mentioned in Lamentations. The middle watch is in Judges, and the morning watch is in Exodus. But now, as I said, we've got a four-watch system. The first is called the evening watch, 6 to 9. The second, the midnight watch, because it's from 9 to midnight. The third watch is called the cock crowing. That's interesting. And the fourth is the morning watch. So the morning watch is from 3 in the morning, 3 a.m. to 6. Now, I'm of the opinion that when it says that Jesus came to them in the fourth watch and they were able to see him, that no doubt it was just getting light out. And the point is, from Matthew and Mark, that helps us, is that they've been rowing all night long. Okay, that's the point. Third, that Matthew and Mark include, Mark records that he was watching them toil in the storm from the mountain. He said, how could he see them? 3-4 miles out to sea up on a mountain. Well, again, this is the Lord Jesus Christ we're talking about. Not only in his humanity, but also in his divinity. And in his divinity, he's watching them row. They had taught. Now, let's set this up a minute, okay? Let's set this up. I think it's important we understand this. Remember what happened before the feeding of the 5,000? They've been on a mission trip. And they've been out and they've been working and toiling and laboring to make the gospel known. And they come back and they see Jesus and they're given the report, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke records this. But they're wore out. So Jesus says, listen, let's get in a boat. Let's go on the other side and let's take a break here. Okay. So they do. Then they cross over. But then you know what happens. 20,000 people come for dinner. You got it? They're flat wore out, and 20,000 people come to dinner. Now, could you just try to imagine yourself, divide yourselves up a minute in groups of 12 and go feed 20,000 people. That's a lot of work. Ladies, maybe you've had that before where you've had a long day, you're whooped, and here comes your husband with the great idea of inviting some folks over tonight. And you're like, are you crazy? Well, what if your husband brought 20,000 people over to your house tonight? Okay, so now they feed them. And that's a big job. Big job. Okay. Now, remember, they already went into this bone tired. Now they feed them. And then, what does Jesus do? Sends them out under the water. Purposefully sends them out onto the lake. And brings into their life a wind that is against them, the text says. He doesn't just come for the wind. The wind's not at their back. The wind is in their face. So can you picture it? They get out about the middle of the lake, 3 to 4 miles out. It's an 8 mile wide lake. Get out right out in the middle and they're rowing. All right. And every time they row, what happens? The wind blows them back. They row again. The wind blows them back. They row again. The wind blows them back. Now, right? Does that connect with your life sometimes? That's kind of how you're feeling things are going? Maybe your marriage, right? Doing a little better, getting a little worse. Doing a little better, getting a little worse. Huh? Or maybe you're trying to parent those kids. Hey, doing a little better, getting a little worse. Doing a little better. Yeah, you're right? Isn't that the cycle of life? And they're just stuck and they're going nowhere. And it's the middle of the night. No, it's past that. We're into the fourth watch. So that kind of sets the scene. Number four, I'll just add, Mark says they headed to Bethsaida. That's confusing because there's actually two Bethsaidas on the Sea of Galilee. So don't let that confuse you from Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's the Matthew text that tells us Peter walks on the water. It's only the Matthew text. You were probably looking for it here, right? When Mr. Sub read the text. Well, wait a minute, where's Peter here? No, just Matthew adds that. Why is that? Well, I'll just insert, I think John's focus is on Christ and the glory of Christ coming to them in their time of trial. Whereas Matthew had a different goal, and he includes Peter. So we get that. Okay, number six. Matthew and Mark report that when he got into the boat, the wind died. But John reports something further. Immediately, they're at the land. So the boat moves 4 miles when Jesus steps into the boat. They're at the land. So, John is helping us see the miraculous, further miraculous in the story, beyond the fact that Jesus is walking on water, right? All right, what's the same between these three accounts? What's the same? There's three things that are the same, and I think they're very noteworthy. All three accounts include this. Number one, he came out to them in the storm. So if you're trying to learn about Jesus today, and you're asking yourself, what can I know about this man today? What, so that I might believe in him. Number one, he came out to them. He didn't leave them. Did you note that? Did your faith need to hear that this morning? He came out to them. Number two, when they see Jesus, they are afraid. It's at that point that they're afraid, when they see Jesus. Now, some of these guys are seasoned fishermen. They've been out to Sea of Galilee many times, had many winds in their face. They've had times like this before. But it's at this point that the text tells us, they were afraid. So Jesus frightened them when he came. Not because he wants to frighten them, it's just their reaction. And so it brings the third point where Jesus, in all three texts, says, "It is I, do not be afraid." And Mr. Sobel's right, Matthew and Mark thought he was a ghost. He's not a ghost. He's not a ghost. He's the Son of God come to you during your hour of a storm. All right. What do we know about Jesus? What do we know about Jesus? Number one, he brings us trials in our life. So if you're going to believe in Jesus and you're thinking, if I believe in Jesus, I won't have any more trouble. I won't have any more trials. I want to set that straight right off the bat. That's not happening. So if you're thinking that what it means to follow Jesus is to be trial-free, test-free, hurt-free, you're following, no. You're not going to keep following him. Sadly, this week I learned of a report of a guy. He sang at my oldest daughter's wedding. He was following Christ. I mean, this guy is just dripping with talent. And it seemed at the time, this is some 20 years ago now, that he loved Jesus. Sadly, I learned this week that he's not following Jesus anymore. Why? You know, right? I mean, we ask ourselves, what happened? His son almost died, and then he got cancer, and now he's divorced. He's lost his job. He's on the street. You know what this guy ran into? A pack of storms. What was his reaction? He quit following Jesus. I don't want that to happen in your life. So I'm just going to tell you straight up, right off the bat, let's figure out this real clear. Who is Jesus?
He's one who's going to compel you, force you to get into a boat and go right out into the middle of it. And you may not like that. And you may fight that. You may oppose that. You may hate that. You may indeed, in the end, turn from following him because that just wasn't the Jesus you had in your box. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, if you got your Bible. Tim, you might want to beam this up. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that wonderful? Let's keep going. In this you rejoice, right? I mean, who doesn't rejoice in all of that? Imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept free. Okay. But though now for a little while. Tim got it?
Yeah.
If now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor to the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, Christians, hold that text. Keep your eye on that text. As Christians, our joy is found in the hope that we have found in the finished work of Christ. Trials help us come to the end of ourselves because they often force us to hope and depend on God instead of ourselves or our comfortable circumstances. You say to me, Pastor, will he give me more than I can handle? Answer, yes. Oh, thank you, Pastor. Will he give me more than I can handle? Yes. At least that's the way it appears to me. But what appears to me is not really true, because the answer is no, he won't. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not only give you this test, but also give you the endurance to get through it. Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things through him who gives me strength. So that's a yes-no question. But he's going to give you enough to break you. What is it going to take to break you? To stop trusting yourself. I don't know what it's going to take to break you. But that's what God's going to give you. Because he loves you. And he needs you to be broken so that then you will depend on him. This is where worship kicks in. When I suffer the most, yet trust him, that's worship. Second, about this 1 Peter text. Remember, now we're just on number one. He brings trials to our life to test us. Second, Peter writes that the trials that cause us grief will only last for a little while. Your grief, your trouble, your hardship, your hurt, which I'm not belittling today. It's real. But it's only going to last for a little while. When will it cease? It may last your entire life here on this earth, but it will not last on the life to come. Amen? And that's only a little time. Our time right now is just a vapor. It's just a vapor. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow, James says. Your hurt today will be gone tomorrow when you arrive at the land. The land. When he gets in the boat, then you're at the land. And we know what that means. Okay, here we go. Number three, suffering and trials come in variety of forms.
Every Christian will experience some form of persecution, according to 2 Timothy 3:12. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But as I think we all know, trials are in no way limited to just persecution. Trials take on many shapes, many sizes, and vary in their severity. You're suffering one way, and I'm suffering another way, but listen, we're all in the same, shall I say, boat here. We're all suffering. And that's true of the Christians and the non-Christians. What's going to mark the difference, what's going to make your witness powerful in a world that's suffering and struggling and angry and hurting and sinning and in opposition to God, what's going to make your witness come to life and be a bright light on a dark hill is when you learn how to suffer in a way that brings glory to God. Have I been glorifying God in my suffering? That's the question I have to ask myself. And you do too. So it's a trial. Like my friend, whose son almost died, and then my friend got cancer, and then his wife said, "Enough of this." But he didn't suffer right. Number four, trials serve a purpose. Your suffering, I don't care if it's the big one or the little one. Listen to me. Your suffering has a purpose, and it's the glory of God. And it's the honing of you into the image of Jesus Christ. I've been learning how to carve a little bit, whittling, you know. Got a little chunk of basswood, and I'm trying to make it look like a little bear. That chunk of wood don't look like a little bear. But now that I've been whittling, shaving this and doing this, you know what's starting to come out of this chunk of wood? Oh, a little bear there. My wife says last night, "Oh, what a cute little bear." I got hope. I'm getting there. Two Band-Aids last night, but I'm getting there. What's he doing to you? He's whittling on you. You got stuff on you that just can't be there if you're going to look like Jesus. So he's got his sharp chisel. You wonder what's going on because you can't find your keys and you lost your phone and I don't know. What's going on? What is the point, Lord? I'm chiseling you into the image of Jesus. Shaven by shaven at a time. All right, let's go to point number two. He comes to us in our trouble. He may come to you in a way that is more frightening than the storm itself. That's the point in the John text. What to do in the storm? You might want to write these five things down. Here we go. Number one, trust him. What do you do in the storm? Trust him. He's not absent from you in the storm. He's on the mountain praying for you. Okay, no, not a mountain. He's ascended up into the glory of heaven itself, seated at the throne with his Father, and he's leaning over and he's saying, "Father, I think Dave's done about had all he can take today." Sometimes he leans over to his Father and he says, "Father, we got to ramp it up a little more. We got to adjust the fire burner a little more." He's almost there, but he's not there. Let's crank it up. Trust him. Number two, look to him. He planned your storm. He planned these disciples' storm. He's out there. Look, what good is a teacher if he never tests? I don't want a teacher. I want a trainer. And a trainer says, here's how you do it. You got it? Yeah, I got it. Okay, now you do it. That's what's happening here. I've been training you, boys. Now I'm going to put you on a lake, and I know you're bone tired, and we'll see how you do. Look to him. He planned your storm. Every element of your storm, he planned it. Number three. So trust him. Look to him. Be still before him. Stop putting your energy into complaining. Put your energy into praising him. Be still before him. He's watching you. Number four, be confident in him. Okay, so what do we got? We got trust him, look to him, be still before him, be confident in him, be confident. He's praying over you during the storm. And then look to him, look for him. Sorry, look to him. Now we got look for him. He will come to you in the storm in a way that you're not expecting. All right, third comment this morning. He brings us to the land. So as we saw, trials are one of God's tools to carve us into the image of Jesus Christ. This is the purpose. This is the point. Look at Romans 8, 28. I'm always hesitant to read this verse. I was sitting in church long ago. And the pastor was just out preaching on Romans 8, 28. You know the verse? And we know that all things, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. You know that verse? Right? Great verse to quote somebody that's suffering. Please be careful with that verse. Romans 8, 28. What's it say? It says, look, whatever you're suffering, it's for your good. Well, you know what? When you're really hurting, that's not maybe the first thing you want to hear somebody tell you. And that's what happened that night when that guy, that pastor was Reverend Charles Cray, preaching on Romans 8:28, and down the aisle came a guy, and he leaned over to this other guy in the church, and said something to him, and the guy got up and left with his brother. And of course, you know how it is when somebody comes in, does something like that, everybody's looking, what's going on, you know. Well, what did we find out later? In the midst of him hearing Romans 8:28 being preached, he had to exit because he just found out his son was killed in a car accident. And what did he go home remembering? What was the verse that was being preached? Romans 8:28. So as I read this morning, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know what hurt you have. And so for me, I'm not trying to flippantly say to you this morning, hey, it's for your good. Enjoy your suffering. No. But I am trying to tell you this truth, that Jesus Christ has your salvation in his plan and your sanctification in his plan. And it took the suffering of Christ to save you. And it'll take a lot of your suffering for you to enter into sanctification. It's good. It was good when my dad spanked me. That was good. I needed it. I needed it more than he gave it to me. And there's a time when God spanks us and we need it. There's a time when trials come into our life and we need it. We've got to have it. There's no shortcut. So he brings us to the land because there's a purpose for the trial. It's to get to the land. Little trials get me ready for the big trials. You got a little trial going on? Listen, you've got to gain the victory in these little trials. I'm talking a little thing. Can't find your keys. Can't find your phone. Right? And you're blowing your stack. It's just a little thing. God's getting you ready with a little thing for a big thing in your life. Because there'll be big things. The trials don't cause me to sin by being impatient, angry, or complaining. They simply reveal what's already inside my heart. Troubles don't cause problems. They reveal problems. God in his sovereignty helped you lose your keys so that you could see the sin in your heart. So when you're looking for your keys, right? Okay, Lord. I know you hid them somewhere. I'm going to maintain my attitude. Trials strip away the unneeded, and we all have a lot of unneeded in our lives. Remember what Psalm 73 says? Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. What a statement. Can I read it one more time? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Okay, conclusion. They were glad to take him into the boat. That's exactly what he says here. Then they were glad to take him. They were glad to take him into the boat when they knew who it was. Remember a minute ago they thought he was a ghost? We don't want no ghosts in the ship. Oh, wait a minute. It's Jesus. From an article by Turning Point, men have pursued joy in every avenue imaginable. Some have successfully found it, while others have not. Perhaps it would be easier to describe where joy cannot be found. Say, okay, so first of all, it's not found in opposing God, unbelieving God. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. He wrote, "I wish I had never been born." So that's where unbelief got him. It's not going to be found in pleasure. Your gladness, your joy is not going to be found in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. He wrote, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." Well, he didn't sound like a very happy guy. How about money? Not in money. Jay Gould, one of the American millionaires, had plenty of that. When dying, he said, "I suppose I'm the most miserable man on the earth." Well, it's not going to be from position or fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both. He wrote, "Youth is a mistake. Manhood is nothing but a struggle. In old age, it's a regret." And these are real happy people. Not in military glory. Remember Alexander the Great? Remember what he did? Remember why he cried? He cried because there are no more worlds to conquer. But here's 12 guys in a boat, been rowing all night in a storm. They're beyond bone tired. But it says, when Jesus got into their boat, they were glad. It's a mark of belief. How do I know I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? One answer, if you have true biblical joy. And when they were glad, immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. I'll close with this. The Greeks had a race in their Olympic Games that was unique. The winner was not the runner who finished first, necessarily. It was the runner who finished with his torch still lit. I want to run with Jesus all the way with my torch still lit. So what's this miracle been about? Why did John pick this one? Out of all the miracles he could have picked, he picked 8 of them. Here's one of them, Jesus walking on the water. Why? I think he wanted us to hear loud and clear that if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you will suffer. You will be tired. You'll be up some nights late. But by his strength, you can enter the glorious promised land with your torch still lit. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to cross that finish line. Not like my friend's doing right now who's bailed. I want to cross, don't you? And I don't want to just cross it. I want to cross it burning for Christ. Amen? I know that's your heart. Let's pray. Our Father, We pray that we will row our boat and trust you even in the storm. Father, help us to cross the finish line, believing and trusting with our torch, the light of the gospel blazing in our hearts. Help us this day to trust you, we pray. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that's just really particularly struggling, suffering, hurting, and they're wondering, where are you? Their life is dark. The waves are huge. And they haven't seen you for a long time. Father, I pray that this would be the day that you would show them how great you are. Come to them, Heavenly Father, I pray. Father, I pray for anyone here today that in the past they walked with you a little. They kind of tried. But then the toils and the cares of life came upon them and just snuffed them out. Father, I pray that that seed would take a new grip in their soil, and that they would bear fruit under your glory. Father, I pray today for anyone here. They're not in a storm. They're on the land. Life's good. Help them too, to be prepared while they're in the light for the darkness that may come tonight. Give them great faith now, that they might have a great faith and a glorious worship of you later in the storm. And then, Father, help us this day to be glad. For you indeed have come to us in the darkness of our soul and brought us the light of the gospel. Help us now to further our belief in Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said. Let's stand together for our benediction, and then we'll sing our doxology. Now may the Lord be with you and strengthen you and give you his peace, even in the storm, right now and forevermore. Amen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host.